With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, this is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy, Peter. Are we well?
Yes, thank you. We actually recorded an episode yesterday, didn't we? Which is quite close for us to be recording. So, yes, I'm absolutely fine, as well as I was yesterday.
How are fans you? Of chronology, as we talked about a lot in yesterday's slash last week's podcast.
Yeah, it did come up a lot, didn't it?
Lot of chronology, if you listened last week. But this is actually, not only have we now recorded two in 2 days, but it was only Saturday gone that we recorded our live episode. So this is 3 in 4 days, which is probably the most
intense,
we've ever... Really intense. So yeah, I imagine very little's happened to you since we last recorded, but a week in our listeners' lives, Pete, is a long time. Much might have happened.
That's
Governments
true.
Probably have fallen. Countries have collapsed.
God knows. Yeah, all sorts.
So there you go. But it's good that you're still well. And let's end the small talk there, shall we? Let's crack on with the old friends chat and meet today's friend, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
Today's friend is a writer, a part-time wrestler, and the second member of her family to appear on this podcast. Please welcome Lexi Rose. Hi, Lexi Rose.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
So stoked.
You're excited?
Yeah.
You text me on the way and you were like, I'm a bit nervous.
Yes.
Is that just because of the sort of environment, or is that because of it's hard to know how much chat about friends to get into a short podcast?
I think it was just, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Representing this episode is big, big responsibility. And I think that, you know, the fact I've made notes, copious notes, done my homework.
Yeah.
I'm ready. It's okay.
It's the nearest thing. I don't know if you feel this, Peter, but it's the nearest thing to like university that I really feel these days. Like, I love Friends and I've watched Friends for my entire life. But weirdly, like the night before a podcast now, I'm like, oh, I have to watch it and I have to make notes about it. And it becomes like almost that. I almost find myself going, oh, I've got to watch an episode of Friends tonight. And then going, hang on, check yourself. This is not a real job.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly how I feel as well.
Your episode...
Yes.
Let's talk us through the process behind you picking it, and then I will reveal to people listening what you just said as you walked into the studio.
Well, there was a spreadsheet involved.
Mm.
There was copious amounts of me skimming through the old EPs, the old box sets, having a little dig around, floating some ideas past you, then deciding I didn't want them. Then I just... This just called out to me one day. It just happened to be on and I went, oh, this is my episode.
Okay.
This is the one I want to discuss. There's many things to unpack about it.
Great. Well, this is the thing. So, I mean, you've referenced the... we referenced the spreadsheet before.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I'm
I think
sorry,
you should share what the spreadsheet
secrets?
Is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a secret. It's just new.
Mm.
So basically up
BTS,
until...
BTS, guys. Hashtag BTS.
Until the end of...
Not the boy band.
Until the end of the last series... it was just a long note on my iPhone, which just had a list of episodes, and I'd send that to everyone. And it suddenly got to the point where it was taking up more than two screens of people's iPhones. When I screenshotted it, I was like, this is not a good way to go. So, yeah, in the break, Pete, I made a spreadsheet.
A proper Google Doc.
A proper Google spreadsheet with all the apps, the seasons in order, and then the red ones are highlighted if they've gone. The orange ones are ones that people have chosen, but we've not yet recorded. And then there's another colour, isn't there, for the clip show apps that we do.
It's very Monica of you, like with her wedding planning binder.
A real admin achievement.
It's impressive.
Yeah, guys, look.
This ain't no, you know, rodeo.
I know, it's no amateur operation
That's
anymore.
That's the one I was looking for.
I tell you that.
Can you tell I do this often?
It's fine. It's a very safe space here. It's just idiots talking about a TV show.
So, keep yourself, Dave.
It's two idiots and a guest talking about a TV show. So you came in and you said, look, I'm not sure how big a fan I am of this episode. But this goes back to what you just said, actually. It's now become to the point, Pete, where this podcast is less people talking about their favourite episode.
Yeah,
Friends,
favourite's kind of
people talking about their favourite episode with the caveat of it's not been done. It's not already been chosen by someone that's bagsied it. Or, you know, there's lots of things now. So I think people are starting to just choose ones they want to talk about.
Do you know what, though? I feel like one of the reasons I picked this one, even though, admittedly, watching it again to sort of prepare, I was like, yeah, not the strongest episode. It's one of the forgottens, you know?
Yes.
And there's something to be said for a forgotten episode. And I think that's a very important part of the Friends world.
Yeah, and
you know, there are the well talked about ones, and then there are the lesser known ones.
That have some really good bits in.
That have some great iconic moments.
There's a lot of iconic moments in this episode. And you know what? On this podcast, we are grateful when people choose the forgottens, because that means there's one less later. You know, we're going to get to about, what,
the dregs.
200 episodes of this podcast, and we're going to be saying, guys, do you want to come on our podcast and talk about the 10th worst ever episode of Friends? Because that's all that's left. So it's really nice to sort of mix it up as we go. So tell us, please, Lexi Rose, what is the episode you have chosen?
Oh, my God. Okay, so the episode I've chosen, ladies and gentlemen, is The One with Rachel's Crush.
The One with Rachel's Crush, Series 4, Episode 13. Here is the Wikipedia synopsis for those of you listening that haven't recently watched it, to remind you. Monica is determined to continue being the hostess and strives to succeed since they switched apartments with the boys. Meanwhile, Chandler becomes concerned when Kathy and a fellow actor get steamy on stage in a play, and Rachel receives a shock when she's moved to another department and develops a crush on one of her clients. Three storylines in this. I would deign to say two decent, one quite shit.
Yes. One is literally one of the most abysmal C storylines in Friends history.
Yeah.
Which is why we need to talk about it.
Should we do that first?
Okay.
Should we sort of do this like a festival and work up towards the headline plot?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. This is definitely the warm-up act.
Yeah, sort of opening the stage at midday.
Yeah.
Is this sort of weird? It's such a sort of small plot that you forget it's happening as you watch the episode. When it sort of went back halfway through, I was like, we've not really seen Monica yet. So we join this mid-apartment switch, and there's loads of boxes in what was the boys' apartment and is now the girls'. And basically, is there much more to it than Monica is a bit jealous that people don't really want to hang out because the apartment's worse?
Well, she actually makes a point at the beginning of the episode that she doesn't want people to hang out in her apartment and come in, and Jerry tries to raid her fridge. She says, yeah, you can't do that because you've got my old apartment now. So she's a bit sore because she bet her apartment away,
right,
which is one of the greatest Friends moments of all times, followed by one of the worst storylines. So there is that.
Yeah,
this is terrible.
I don't like Rachel and Monica not being in the purple apartment. It unsettles me when they're not there.
Correct. I don't like change either. I don't like it.
We watch Friends for familiarity, guys, not for this weird upside down world.
Although, weirdly, Monica refers to the purple apartment as the big apartment in this storyline.
Yes,
it
she does.
Never occurred to me that it's bigger, but I don't know.
It is loads bigger, isn't it, when you look
at
it?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's kind of weird that she refers to it as the big apartment in the sense of, like, we both have these two apartments between us as a group. It's kind of a weird ownership thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're like,
shared.
Hey guys, who's in the big apartment this week?
I mean, let's not even talk about the logistical and legalities of betting your apartment and actually carrying it out.
Well, yeah, because we know that this is, what, Monica's grandma's apartment that she sublets on rent control or something. You know, mm-hmm. we learn this is the sort of reason behind why they're in this amazing apartment where they don't earn very much money. And then suddenly, not only, because that's, they're on the edge already with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty illegal. And then suddenly they're going to swap with some dudes across the hall.
It's an interesting one. I'm not sure I'm 100% buying it.
No.
But for the purposes of this storyline, we'll accept that they've swapped.
Yes.
And Monica's in a strop.
Yeah.
She doesn't want Joey raiding her fridge. So he then quite skankily tries to raid the top of the cupboards for a donut he left up there at some point, which is just not okay. But again, we move swiftly on.
It's peak Joey, isn't it? It's peak Joey. That's
peak
the problem.
Joey, yeah. That's what he does.
So then what happens, bizarrely, in a sort of quite out of character twist, is that Joey starts cooking and starts like getting all the food in and making breakfast for everyone.
Yep, suddenly Joey has money, yeah. And suddenly he has granola and he has pancakes.
When I was watching this episode last night, I texted Dave.
I got a flurry of WhatsApps at this point. A flurry. I thought something was wrong.
Do you want to read them and then I'll explain?
You know when someone starts a text message chain with just your name?
Yeah.
So it was just like Dave, one text. I was like, yeah. Oh God, what's happened? He's not going to do the podcast recording tomorrow. Something's terrible. And then he went, this episode. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh God, have we done it before? I've forgotten. Is there a real problem with it? Then he goes, you know that bit where Phoebe catches the pancake? The noise it makes when it hits the palm of her hand is so unbelievably satisfying.
I can't stop watching it. Yes.
The slap noise it makes as she perfectly catches the flipped pancake. I rewound that so many times. It's just the satisfying noise of it hitting her hand and then dropping and hitting her plate. It is art.
Mate. Do you know what I was going to say? I think Phoebe needs to get into baseball because that's exactly the bit of the scene that saved it. What a catch!
Yeah, it is incredible.
You actually sent me a voice note with the sound effect on it as well, which I'll be honest, isn't that easy to hear. Let's see if we can hear it.
Phoebe, stick out your plate.
Oh. Oh my God, literally as that noise played, all the lights went off in here.
So bizarre, wasn't it? As the pancake hit Phoebe's hand, all the lights switched off. Yeah. There's still some nice mood uplighting.
Have you got clapping lights in here? Is that what happened?
Oh my God, let's try it.
No.
No, nothing's happened, Pete. Just to sum up, still dark.
Still in the dark.
So did you both obsess over this pancake catch
Correct.
Noise?
Well, not over the noise. Now you mention it, the noise was satisfying. I was just more impressed by it. The catch was
excellent. Yeah, it was very good.
Because that follows Joey flinging a pancake over his shoulder and it going miles away, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so she just catches the pancake, plonks it on a plate. Everyone's having a nice time. There's one other bit of this plot line that I think is really weird. So eventually what happens is Monica starts doing up the other apartment, right? And to a point where everyone can come round.
I made a note about this.
Yeah, let's see if it's the same thing.
I've also got a note which I assume is going to be the same issue.
Oh, maybe it's not an issue. Okay. I just wanted to make a comparison.
Okay.
I feel like Monica, she's like a before Queer Eye contributor.
She so is, isn't she?
Her hair is not the one in this episode. It's kind of like that episode where she asks for Demi Moore's hair and then Phoebe cuts it into Dudley Moore's hair.
Yes.
But this time it's not intentional. And she's wearing the most atrocious outfits throughout because she's doing the apartment up, I assume.
Right.
But Tan would have a field day with that.
Yeah.
And obviously then the big makeover is about to happen.
Well, she queer eyes herself then, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She does the whole thing.
She's all the Fab Five in one.
She gets full Bobby on the apartment. Yeah. The bit that I... What's your bit, Pete? Is it about the literature selection provided?
Yes, it is. And then also...
Oh, yeah.
So, to explain, Monica, to sort of coax them over, she makes them cookies. They're freshly baked. She somehow holds an oscillating fan behind some cookies and it has the power to blow the smell of the cookies through a door and into another apartment, which is...
Yeah, because they...
Impressive.
They're mid-conversation, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then they all go, what's that smell?
Yeah, the smell is powerful enough to stop conversation in a separate apartment through a closed door and across a corridor, which is very good. But the other thing about it is that she buys a new copy of Playboy to also sort of make visiting a treat. And then just the weirdest part of it all, and this seems to be a running theme that we're picking up on quite a lot, Ross says to Monica... Cookies and porn. You're the best mom ever. Honestly, we could do a whole fucking episode on that line alone.
I mean, what the fuck?
Am
I allowed to swear?
Porn best mom ever. Like, why are you calling your sister your mum? Why are you referencing your mum when you're talking about porn? There is so much going on in the space of two sentences.
And Monica also says, I've just been fiddling around in here making delicious treats for everyone. Another line that I feel could have gone in the bin at some point. fiddling around in here?
Yeah, when you're handing over a Playboy to someone. No, yes. It's just an odd choice of scripting.
Whilst making cookies, I mean, I don't want to get my OCD all over this podcast, but I do think about these things.
It's bizarre enough that her brother comes over and she hands him a copy of Playboy and basically goes, hey, thanks for coming around. Here's some softcore pornography. And then, yeah, like you say, Pete, that line, best mum ever, this is a Freudian nightmare, isn't it?
It's just...
like, we could be here for hours dissecting that.
There is just a lot going on.
The main problem is that neither of them seem particularly uncomfortable with it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, yeah.
Everyone's fine about it.
It's absolutely fine. I mean, we know they've got a slightly strange sibling relationship anyway, but absolutely mad.
Should we talk about the conclusion of Monica's makeover?
Right.
Because it's a bit shit.
Yeah. What, you're not happy with the apartment?
I mean, I'm with Joey. I didn't even know they didn't have a carpet
in
there.
Yes, exactly. So they come back in and Monica goes, do you like the floor? And Joey goes, it looks the same. And she says, there used to be carpet there. No, I wouldn't have told you that either. Yeah, the conclusion of, you know, like you say, if this was an episode of Queer Eye and you walked into that, you'd be like, oh, Bobby's just taken the cardboard boxes and put them in the bin.
Yeah.
That's basically all that's happened. I sort of tidied up a bit.
And there's a really awful vase behind... the newly positioned sofa with someone's face on it. Which,
is that?
Yeah. I will screen grab it for you.
Yes,
at some
please.
Point.
We'll tweet that out when this episode goes out. Whose face?
It's just like, I don't know, it's like a sort of stretched face around a sort of vase. It's really fugly, guys.
Oh my days.
I will send it to you.
Yes, please.
You can add it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really distracted me and disturbed me for most of the scene.
I did not notice that vase, Pete, did you?
No, neither did I. Good attention to detail. It bodes well for the quiz.
Lovely attention to detail. That is going on our Twitter, @FriendsWF. Here's the thing. If you're listening to this and it isn't on the Twitter, just drop us a little tweet and then we'll remember to put it up.
That's very
pretty good at remembering that sort of stuff, aren't we, Pete?
Yeah, very good.
I think this whole storyline makes me feel a bit sad.
For Monica?
Yeah, just sad.
just sort of a general melancholy.
Yeah, just a bit of low energy.
Yeah, because there's nothing to it, is
there? She falls asleep at the end with everyone sat around her having a great time, and she's been isolated for the whole episode. We've not seen her apart from one candid shot of her through the door spinning around on a floor polisher that Rachel thought was a Hoover. And she did all that work. Joey didn't even notice that he had carpet there before. Then they all sit down and eat all her food again, as per usual, because they're all leeches.
Yep.
And she falls asleep, missing out on all the bants.
I know.
And she just says, I am always the hostess, as she nods off to sleep. And I just felt a bit sad.
It's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like reverse Queer Eye, really. Her life was great. She had a great apartment. And it went to shit.
Yeah, it's like the spin-off series when
Sorry
it all goes
to keep
wrong.
Referencing another TV show.
No, that's fine.
On your podcast.
To be honest, it's good to keep it current, isn't it, Pete? It's good to keep it rooted in the modern day.
Good reference.
Thanks. Monica spinning on that floor polisher is one of two or three like iconic Friends moments in this episode. Like that's in the credits for seasons,
for years
isn't
to come.
It?
Yeah. Yep.
After that,
despite that, it's really like a throwaway thing.
Yeah.
This is the thing about this episode.
Yeah,
there's some very iconic throwaway moments that actually end up being embellished in Friends history, and the floor polisher spinny roundy situation is one of them.
Should we come on to another one of them then? Where do you want to go next? Chandler and Kathy or Rachel and Joshua?
Let's go for Chandler and Kathy.
Chandler and Kathy.
Because I feel like the episode's called Rachel's Crush.
Yeah.
Therefore.
So that's the headline.
We'll headline it.
Okay, we'll headline with the crush. And that has got two of the other iconic moments in Rachel's Crush. So we shan't come on to those immediately. Okay, Chandler and Kathy. So this starts right at this. Yeah, there's a lot of... It's a deep sigh one, isn't it, this one?
Yeah, I've got to unpack. I mean, I know we're meant to be talking about our favourite episode, and it is my favourite episode for psychological picking apart. And I just think this is not... Chandler, I will always have forever a soft spot for. But this episode does not paint him in a good light. And I feel it's quite out of character.
It feels like a Ross storyline.
Yes! Thanks, Pete.
It does, doesn't it?
It's,
you're absolutely right.
An insecurity and a paranoia and a slightly controlling behaviour that is, we're used to seeing it with Ross, not Chandler, which is why it just feels weird. It just doesn't feel like an appropriate story for him.
Why do they pair him up with Ross for it?
Yes, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Ross is sort of egging him on throughout it, isn't it, by being there in the sidelines. It feels like Ross is making a poor contribution to his behaviour. But he gets right in his own head straight away. So let's take you back. This is right at the cold open of the episode before the credits even roll. Ross and Chandler are at this play that Kathy's in. And the play basically opens. And it sounds like a dreadful play, guys.
I know. And Chandler is being a very positive, supportive boyfriend at the start.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact he took Ross along to this play, some unseen shit went down.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
When we weren't there.
Yes.
That turned this story sinister.
Yeah, he's really like, he does that thing where he shouts, "Hey, my girlfriend, I get to have sex with the star of the show," or whatever that is. Fine. Clay starts. In comes Kathy and Nick. And as far as I can tell, the play is just Kathy playing a prostitute and having sex with a man.
It sounds like live porn.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's really low grade. It's when Nick says that, "Ooh, that's nice" line that you hear really clearly.
I know.
It's like, what? That's such appalling acting, even for an out-of-shot play that is clearly meant to be a bit ropey. Like,
right.
Nick clearly has even less acting talent than Joey.
It feels like a Joey play, a play that Joey would have been in, doesn't it?
Why didn't Joey audition for this play? Yeah. This sounds up his street.
Well, this would have been a whole love triangle if Kathy and Joey were on stage simulating sex after the whole and Joey stuff.
Full circle.
I know. It's a good job Nick was there to really buffer this over.
Mm. Yeah.
What I would have thought is if you were Chandler and you were going to your girlfriend's play, wouldn't you warn your boyfriend? Kathy be like, "Just so you know, you come to the play, within 10 seconds, my top's going to be off."
This is my conclusion. As much as Chandler is a bit paranoid in this episode, I think Kathy's a dick.
Yeah.
And we'll come on to why a bit later.
Yeah.
Kathy is an absolute knobber and we need to talk about it.
Okay.
Sorry, can I say knobber on this podcast?
Well, you've already said fuck, so if you can say fuck, you can say knobber.
Okay, cool.
We're very laissez-faire here with language.
Thanks.
So I just feel like she should have mentioned it. Chandler should have been preparing and being like, obviously Chandler and Kathy, I mean, what do they talk about then? What do they, if they're not talking about her play, which is basically her job at the moment,
mm-hmm.
what are they talking about?
I know. Ask about how her day's going.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll find this shit out.
You guys have got bloody issues, I'll tell you that. And then so it all comes back to Chandler starts to get paranoid and then speaks to Joey about it, because why wouldn't you take advice from Joey when it comes to growing up relationship things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And Joey sort of cites this rule about there being, if there's chemistry on stage, that means they're not having sex together off stage.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And there's a really nice Joey line where he goes, "Have you ever seen me have any chemistry with anyone on stage?" And they're like,
"No."
Never.
Also, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, guys, Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, the film.
The film.
Have I seen, which one's that? Is that the one where they're
shooting? That's the Brad Pitt one. Oh, Angelina Jolie, and they ended up married. Yeah, of course.
Do they have chemistry in that film? No.
No. Well, it's weird you should mention that, because there's a bit of this episode that really dates it, and it's where they start talking about celebrity couples.
Oh, yes.
And they're referencing...
My favourite part.
Yeah, like Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins. Hey!
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And I don't think I ever realised they were actually a couple.
What?
Yeah, they were. That was...
I think that one passed me by. I mean, it makes perfect sense to very famous Hollywood actors. I'm not surprised that they were a couple.
And yeah, like you say, Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, who... Also, that reminded me, there's an episode of The Simpsons where they appear. So obviously in the heyday, this is, I think, probably before any of our time.
I think none of these couples are together.
They're not. They're all divorced, I checked. It really dates it, because it doesn't even hold up.
And what is Phoebe referencing when she says Mel Gibson and Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
What is she referencing?
I don't know. So she chimes in, doesn't she? And then someone goes, "They're not a couple." And she goes, "Oh, I get the game now." I mean, is she just referencing two awful men?
I think that might be what the game is
named two
Tom
awful
Cruise.
People.
Yeah. It's where your head goes.
Yeah, it really dates. So when is this episode? This must be 1998 or 99, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, so all those couples gone.
I mean, there's even been a Penelope Cruz and Tom Cruise in between this time, and between then and now.
Yeah.
And also a Tom Cruise and
Katie Holmes. Yeah.
Like, a lot has happened between these two episodes, just in Tom Cruise's life.
Yeah,
guys.
Right.
Chandler references something that I feel we can all resonate with. And he says, "I'm totally screwed because they're going to be all hot and heavy on stage every night. And then they're going to go to their cast parties and you're going to try and undermine me. It will be like, 'So where's your boyfriend? What's his name? Chester. And then she'll go, "No, no, no, it's Chandler." And he'll go, "Whatever. Ha, 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 ha. I've had this happen to me."
Have you?
"Someone called me Leslie. Not my name."
I was emailing someone at work earlier and put from like Pete at the end, signed it off. And they replied, "Thanks, Paul." And I was like, it was literally like a two-sentence email. So There were multiple instances on that email where my name was Pete. Like, that's such a stunning lack of attention to detail. They would be terrible at our quiz.
I mean, that is terrible, isn't it? I have it all the time with Dave and David because my name is not David. I mean, it is, but nobody's called me David for 25 years, basically. My email address, they all have Dave in them. I always sign Dave. And the amount of times people reply going, thank you, David. I'm like, you just changed my name there. You haven't, you're right. Pete, it's a lack of detail. And it's a bloody lack of respect is what it is. Yeah.
My dad used to do it to boyfriends of mine and still does it to all my siblings.
Deliberately.
Significant others. I don't know.
Like a power play.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just really not paying attention. It's one or the other.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three, that's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian.
There's the One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, Gooch, Chooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirch Pod.
Could you eat first? I think we know.
Well, no, I don't know if I'd want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
GreatBigOwl.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So then they go to the play again. Now, my girlfriend works in theatre. Mm-hmm. I will go to her play once.
Yeah.
Maximum. And feel I've done well of being a supportive boyfriend. I'm like, been to the play.
Yeah.
I would very rarely go twice, and I definitely wouldn't go twice on two consecutive nights.
But also, wouldn't go twice if the first time you'd gone, it made you incredibly uncomfortable.
Right, exactly. And if all you've done is gone back to check if there's chemistry on stage.
Well, that's what I was about to point out, is you're talking about being supportive.
Yeah.
And look who comes with him.
Yeah, old Rostopher.
Mr. Supportive comes back. I think Ross has been getting in Chandler's ear when we haven't been looking.
Yeah. Just whispering in.
Just like, I think we should cook him.
Yeah.
Also, a bit pervy from Ross, because I was discussing this with Handsome Tom, my significant other guys, last night, and he was saying, don't know if I'd feel comfortable with one of my bestie mates seeing my girlfriend's bare breasts anyway, which, you know, I agree. I would be uncomfortable with Handsome Tom's best mate seeing my bare breasts as well. But to then offer to go back again and get a second look.
And there's a really sort of weird moment where Chandler's like, are you going to come tonight to the play? And Ross kind of does that. I think he goes, oh, I'm not sure how comfortable I am seeing your girlfriend naked. And Chandler goes, okay. And he goes, no, I'm coming. And it's like, oh, so you're just going to see his girlfriend. That's, you know, You protest too much.
Yeah.
Old pervy Ross. So they go back again, and then, yeah, there's a lot going on in this plot line, isn't there? And yeah. Chandler confronts Kathy immediately and sort of goes, well, there was clearly no heat tonight. You're clearly having sex with him, which is a real leap and escalation of the situation.
He's taken a subjective opinion on the performance and in the middle of her workplace.
He really needs to chill. There's a great Schwimmer moment, though, where Chandler does confront Kathy and Ross goes, okay, and then just leaves. That's a really moment where he just turns away, and it's a really good bit of Schwimmer physical
really
acting.
Really good bit of Schwimmer acting. Oh,
we love Schwimmer on this podcast.
Yeah. Also, we haven't referenced drunk Chandler as well.
So this is the next bit, isn't it? And this has become a running theme on this podcast, Lexi, is that Pete almost exclusively has watched Friends via the medium of broadcast
E4
television.
Specifically.
So E4, like all E4, where, as you'll be aware, having watched it, they cut out quite a lot of the bad language and the odd bits. You know, they never say the word bitch, which they say quite a lot in Friends. They always cut out bitch. They'll do some, I'll be honest, really dodgy editing. And just completely just cut out half a line.
Yeah, it was very half-assed, wasn't it?
So again, you texted me this, Pete, didn't you? And you've never seen this particular bit of this episode.
It's after Chandler's discovered that, well, now she is sleeping with Nick. And then he gets a bit drunk to deal with it. And throws open the front door. Hang on, no. Throws open one front door. Doesn't he go into both apartments?
He literally leans into the guy's apartment and says one word, doesn't he?
He just shouts slut, which is really odd.
I was really quite shocked because I don't ever remember that part either until I rewatched it last night.
Yeah.
And actually, I very nearly texted Dave the word slut in capital letters with no reference, hoping that maybe he might be doing his homework.
I was going to say, if I hadn't watched it by then, that would have been really out of the blue. I'd have really had to work out what was going on then.
And then, yeah, I thought I'd save it. But I'm really glad you pointed that out, Pete.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? It's watching it back now, it feels... Because, like you say, he just literally leans in, says one word. There's basically no reason for that to be there.
It isn't even part of another sentence. Isn't even part of him making a point. He literally throws open the door to the apartment, which she isn't in, and shouts slut at, I think, Ross and Joey. Which is just, it's even for a drunkard, it's a strange move.
The rest of this storyline, so basically he wakes up the next morning and realises, hang on, wait, she never actually told me this. And then this is a point at which Joey sort of goes, hey, my thing's just a theory. Just basically, why are you listening to me? And to be fair, Chandler's behaviour has been entirely based on this one sort of throwaway theory by Joey earlier in the episode, hasn't it?
Yeah, and which we later learn.
He just made up, basically.
He compares it to geometry, which is another question I need to bring up here.
And that's kind of it, isn't it? Then he goes over to Kathy's. She is sleeping with Nick because they've broken up, and that's very quick,
obviously,
isn't it? Very quick, Kathy.
Nick's pants. Well, this comes back to my original point. Kathy's a dick. Yeah, okay. So... okay, he behaved like a little bit of an ass in the auditorium after the play. I can't believe I just said auditorium.
Yeah.
Long word for me. And then the next day, she didn't think, oh, maybe my job's quite a weird one to get your head around if you do whatever the hell it is that Chandler does. He's not an actor.
Transponsting.
Yeah, exactly. Transponsting. Chandler's job. So there is that thing of maybe if she was a bit more empathetic and understanding of Chandler, where Chandler's come to, you know, if I really want to get into it, I think they need to have a little bit of therapy time and talk about it. Talk it through before taking Nick's pants off.
The timeline's the real problem here, right? So Chandler confronts her at, let's say, 10 p.m. when the play finishes. Yeah. And then he wakes up the next morning. So she's had a fight with her boyfriend. He stormed off. And she's basically immediately just gone backstage and been like, right, Nick, pants off.
Exactly. So obviously it was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And the speed of it is a Friends classic story acceleration. I mean, people have sex very quickly in Friends.
They do.
And as we all know, it gets back referenced later on. Ross brings up being on a break.
Yeah. And
I think Kathy thinks they're on a break.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a bit of vindication for Ross there. They're all sort of gathering around Chandler going, look, it's just not acceptable for her to have had sex with him so immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross sort of leans in his sort of sheepish
with
way.
With his greasy hair.
Maybe she thought they were on a break. And that's the end of the... That's how the episode ends.
Yep. So it all ends on a bit of a sour note.
It feels like they were just hurrying Kathy out of the
sitcom. Bye, Kathy.
See you later, Kathy. Because that's the last time we see Kathy, isn't it?
Yeah, goodbye.
They basically have one fight. She sleeps with someone else. The end.
Yeah.
She's out of there. And then that's Chandler's last girlfriend before he gets together with Monica.
Yeah. And so, coincidentally, she and Monica both have terrible haircuts in that episode.
In that episode. Maybe we know what Chandler's into.
Yeah. Dudley Moore.
So it's Kathy's last appearance, but it's the first appearance of Joshua.
Oh, Joshua.
Joshua.
God, he's dull. So,
I don't see what Rachel sees in Joshua. And I don't just mean that, like, physically. Personality-wise, I don't feel like he offers much either.
He's so wet, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's not that charismatic. He's not that... he's not much like Rachel's other people that she dates. I don't understand how she is suddenly so infatuated with him.
So this starts because she's been moved departments at Bloomingdale's. She's been moved into personal shopping. She's about to quit. And again, there's a couple of like memorable Friends moments when she's on the phone to Monica going, I'm going to quit. I'm quitting. Okay, call me back when you get this message.
Yeah, she actually says, Monica, I'm quitting. I just helped an 81-year-old woman put on a thong and she didn't even buy it. Yeah.
What is her job?
Now, I have bought underwear in my time. I'm sure you have bought underwear.
Yeah.
You don't try it on before you buy it.
That's a very good point.
Hygiene. Yeah.
My obsessive compulsive disorder was very upset about this line and it haunted me. It's probably the moment of the episode that has burnt into my brain more than any other part. That is not okay.
Yeah, that's so true. Because
no wonder she's quitting.
If you order underwear online, it says like you can't try it on. No, you can't send it back if it's open.
Especially not a thong, Dave.
No. Oh, no. An 81-year-old woman.
Why is an 81-year-old woman even wearing a thong?
What situation? Yeah, so why is an 81-year-old woman wearing a thong? Why is she trying it on before she buys it? And why? Here's the problem. If an 81-year-old woman cannot herself get into a thong, I would deign to say the things she's wearing the thong hoping to achieve are also going to be a real struggle.
Yeah, I don't think she should be. If you can't put a thong on by yourself,
you shouldn't be wearing a thong.
That's the takeaway from this whole episode.
That's the motto
episode.
Of the story. Guys, if we ever hit a point where we can't put a thong on ourselves and we need a shop assistant's help, we should maybe be wearing thongs anymore.
Anyway, we digress. Yeah. So Rachel has nearly quit and then Joshua walks in, which comes to Pete's point, which I told Dave beforehand, one of the things I brought with me is some imdb.com reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And the one on Rachel's crush says, I don't understand. This is what imdb.com reviewer has written about the episode. They've given it 4 out of 10 for a start.
Wow.
A
bit harsh.
I can't understand how she got a crush on Joshua.
Yeah.
He is not an ugly man at all. But I can't see anything so overwhelming about him that she would go nuts like that.
Right.
That was actually written by me.
I found you.
But yeah, you're right. She's so obsessed with him, she doesn't quit the job. She is completely set on quitting.
She's so obsessed with him that she makes it worth helping an 80-year-old woman try on a thong.
Can I throw in a little bombshell in terms of the Rachel Joshua attraction though?
What's that?
The actor that played Joshua.
Tate Donovan.
And Jennifer Aniston dated for over 2 years.
Did they really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mind blown. Did they?
And when did they break up? About 2 weeks before they shot this episode.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you think this was all teed up? And then he was like, I better still be appearing in Friends.
Right, exactly. Isn't that...
I'm going to have to go back and watch this all again.
The entire Rachel and Joshua storyline is being shot basically in the wake of a Jennifer Aniston, Tate Donovan... breakup.
Wow.
There you go. So
this makes this episode even better because there are some amazing Rachel acting moments. But there is something about Joshua I'd like to point out.
Yep.
There's a red flag almost immediately, which is the reason why Josh is getting personal shopping assistance.
Yep.
Did anyone else pick up on the fact that he's just going for a divorce,
yeah,
which is obviously great for Rachel. She's very sorry to hear that, though, yeah, she tells him. But I feel it's thrown away. But the reason he needs the personal shopping is not for a boost post-divorce, nope, or for a new look. It's because his ex-wife has burned all his clothes.
What's he done?
It's because she's
what? What's he done to warrant that? She burnt the clothes.
Oh. I didn't.
She burnt all his wardrobe.
I didn't pick up on that at all.
Apart from a suit and skirt. Yeah. I know, because it is so thrown away. It's just like, oh, I don't have any clothes anymore. Boo-hoo. But yeah.
So clearly, he needs everything, yeah, down to underwear. So she even burnt his pants. Now, what the hell did he do?
Yeah.
To warrant this kind of punishment. And I don't think I would want to date somebody whose ex-wife feels that point. She needs to burn his pants.
Yep.
The strangest thing about Joshua doing his shopping is at one point he says, when he's saying bye to Rachel, he says, I'll see you in the spring for the bathing suits. Like, it's an absolutely standard thing to do to go shopping for swimming shorts like the moment it becomes April. It's like, spring has started, I must buy swimming shorts.
And also,
he has 3 personal shopping, yeah, appointments, guys.
Do you need a personal shopper to buy some swimming,
yeah,
shorts?
Fucking
come on,
grow
mate.
Up,
you
mate.
Are better than that.
But in what world do you have 3 appointments in close proximity to each, yeah, other to buy even your underwear? Can you not buy your own pants? I think this guy has issues.
We've got real problems. And we meet his mum and dad later, don't we? And they've left him $500 while they go away for groceries. And like, it's clearly some sort of...
a man-child.
Molly-coddling, yeah, man-child issues going on with Joshua. So between that, the fact the man can't choose his own underwear and his very recent ex-wife has burned all his entire wardrobe. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is such a red flag. And why is Rachel going anywhere near that?
So, yeah, I think one of the things to just praise Jennifer Aniston for is, yep, some very difficult acting scenes in here. A lot of phone acting, which is not easy.
Yeah, it's a really hard scene to act. It's not a good moment for Rachel. This is where we see, like, that sort of spoilt old Rachel that's never had to ask a boy out in her entire life. And she really struggles with it. But this...
We're coming to it now.
We're coming to it, aren't we? Now, this is one of the moments, isn't it, of the whole episode?
Yeah, this is pretty much what sealed the deal for me on why we should have this episode. So Rachel asks Jerry and Phoebe for their advice on asking out Joshua. And Jerry starts to discuss how he flirts with women.
Yep.
And he says, I just go up to them and I say, hey, how you doing?
First time. First time we hear it. First appearance
is
of Joshua.
That the first time
first
ever?
Appearance of how are you doing?
Oh, there you,
yeah,
go.
And we were sort of just chatting about this just before we started recording, weren't we? Isn't it mad that not only does it not really get a big laugh?
No laugh, really.
It sort of gets almost nothing. And it's so casually thrown away. It's four seasons into Friends before they sort of stumble upon how are you doing. And then that just becomes like that's Joey's catchphrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for nearly half of the entire season of Friends, it didn't exist.
And it's just a casual throwaway line.
Mad.
There you go.
Tries it on Phoebe. Works the charm. Rachel calls Joshua, panicked. It all goes to shit. And then Joey gives some more advice. This is an episode basically dominated by poor Joey Tribbiani advice.
All the way through.
Yeah, he's given Chandler some terrible advice. And now he's about to give Rachel some, which is to buy some Knicks tickets and say, come to the Knicks tonight or something.
Yeah. I mean, very expensive investment.
Yeah.
I have bought NBA tickets.
They are not
they
cheap.
They are pricey.
They are not cheap. But I would say in this instance, Joshua is very much in the wrong because it comes to it. And this is final day. He's done 3 personal shopping appointments. And then he seems to think, so he takes the tickets, doesn't he? And goes, oh, thanks for the 2 tickets. My nephew would love that. What does he think's happening?
She drops a massive hint as well. She goes, I think you look great. As a single woman who is available.
Yeah.
She could not have teed it up more.
Because he's a big old dope is what Joshua is.
Yeah.
But what does he actually think's happening? That Bloomingdale's are gifting him 2 tickets to the Knicks?
Who does that?
But this is part of the Joshua problem. He's spoilt. He just assumes someone has bought him 2 Knicks tickets.
Yeah.
And that is a normal part of his life. And he doesn't even really say goodbye to Rachel. He doesn't hug her. He doesn't be like, he's...
He does like a weird side-to-side hug. Like he stands shoulder-to-shoulder with her and then puts his arm around her, which is just really weird.
But that's kind of when he's still looking at the clothes, isn't it? And it's sort of like, hey, look at me. And then he just sort of goes, thanks for tickets. Bye.
Do you think Josh just was not that into it?
Well, it's amazing that this becomes a thing based on this episode, yeah, because there's no chemistry between them. It's Rachel really fancying him and him going, like, him being completely oblivious. So there you go. So another fun fact about Joshua, guys. The Tate Donovan, who plays Joshua, also the voice of Hercules in Disney's Hercules.
Oh, wow.
Great fact. Another great fact I discovered about Tate Donovan this week. And then I went back and watched lots of YouTube clips of the Disney film Hercules to verify. And you can hear it. You can hear it, guys. Doesn't say a lot in that film, though, old Hercules. Took me quite a while of scrolling through. Should we do the quiz, Pete?
Yes, let's do the quiz.
To round off, Lexi, 5-question quiz.
Okay.
About the episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Details that you may or may not have spotted. Actually, we've referenced at least two of
these. Yeah, I think
you've
got a couple of points guaranteed here.
So, question one, to start you off really easy. Which two male actors does Phoebe suggest in the conversation about acting couples?
Oh, Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, you've already said it.
Mel Gibson and another... Oh, Mel Gibson and... and... Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, there it is.
I was about to say you can't just say Mel Gibson twice, but you got there in the end. Question two. How much was the ticket to Kathy's play?
$32.
Oh, great. Good. Really impressive.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, referenced by Chandler, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like someone charged, like, wrote my worst nightmare on a play and charged me $32 to see it.
Yeah.
Great memory.
Thanks.
Question three. We've referenced this as well, but only a bit of it. Name the three theories that Joey also claimed didn't pan out, in inverted commas.
Oh, okay. It's lone gunman.
Yep.
Geometry.
Yep.
Oh, man. Is it like a war or something?
It's to do with a war, I guess. Yeah. And it's very much a...
Communism,
yeah. It's very much a sort of red flag word in America, especially. Yeah. So like a war thing, yeah.
No.
But yeah, communism.
Communism.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Question four. What does Chandler call Beefsteak Charlie's?
Beefsteak Julie's.
Beefsteak Julie's. One of those little details in an episode of Friends. Couldn't tell you what a Beefsteak Charlie's is.
No.
Sorry, guys. Never been to one. Question five. Now, this one's a contentious question because you both, I don't know, Pete, I've not even checked this with you, might have seen more detail than me. But based on what we see, what is Kathy's play called? Now, I say this because the marquee where it's written, I think is cut off.
Yes.
Halfway through. So it might be, what's the second half of Kathy's play called? But I don't know if there's a better version.
Oh,
like
man.
It's in it
twice as well.
Yeah. We see three words.
Union? No.
Although, interestingly, there's a word association game you could play to get to the right word now. But it's very niche and New York-y.
Grand Union?
No, but I see where you're going.
No, I don't know. I can't remember. It's dropped out of my head. I saw a marquee and noticed they cut the title off, but yes. I didn't actually read what it was.
It's called...
Square?
Yes!
Something Square. Oh, man.
You've got the main one now.
That's why I said Grand Union, is it?
Yeah,
Square.
Union Square.
No, I know it has Square in it.
I'll give you half a point for that. It's called In the Square.
In the Square.
In the square. It must be something in the square, but I can't see it on the version of Friends I have. Is your version the same, Pete?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon they just cut the top off so you just can't see what the real play they took the shot.
Prostitute in the square. Softcore porn in the square.
You've done very well there.
4.5 out of 5.
Also, I've just Googled Beefsteak Charlie's, which interestingly, and I use that word really quite loosely, 1987, Beefsteak Charlie's became defunct. So,
what?
It doesn't even exist.
The last known individual shop closed in 2009, but the chain ended in 1987. So even when Chandler referenced it in what, 96, whenever this is, it was a 9-year-old reference by then.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Well, we're learning a lot today, aren't we?
We really are.
Lexi Rose, thank you so much for coming on Friends with Friends.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And well done for such an impressive quiz performance as well.
I'm really worried about what I've pushed out of my brain in order to store these facts. So if I've forgotten my house keys or something, I'm blaming y'all.
Yeah. If you've forgotten your house keys, it's because you know Kathy's play costs $32, which is the most useless bit of information any human brain will hold.
Yeah, it's pretty damn.
It'll be there forever now, though.
I think if you ask me that again in a year's time, I'll still tell you it's $32.
Exactly. You'll never forget it. Thank you so much. And I've forgotten how we end this, Pete. Thank you very much. And
bye.
Bye. Nailed it. Hello, here we are, still here. Next week on Friends with Friends is the award-winning, although she asks us not to mention it, comedian Rose Matafeo, who has chosen which episode, please, Rose, as she takes a gulp of water.
The one with all the cheesecakes.
The one with all the cheesecakes. Season 7, episode 11, which I'll never forget now because it leads to a lot of irrelevant chat about the chain store 7-Eleven in America
before
we even start. I don't think we did, no.
Spoiler, we don't solve it.
Three people sort of waffling about a subject they have no knowledge of or real interest in. That's next week on Friends with Friends. Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.